welcome to the Mr. Vincent Podcast, episode 129. I'm your host, Emmanuel Vincent, and I hope everybody is having a great week thus far. Happy Friday Eve. Of course, this episode focuses on the NFL season. Week 3's in the books, so me and the homie Eves did talk a little bit about what transpired in week 3, and we also touched on a few games slated for week 4 this weekend. So, it was a solid pod. And again, this episode does not have any visuals yet. I haven't gotten all the equipment needed to make that happen. I'm definitely slacking, but sooner rather than later, it will be up and running, and I'll be able to have visuals go along with the audio for this pod. But in the meantime, you guys can enjoy this episode. And matter of fact, here it is. So it was we are 3 weeks into the NFL season. Week 4 is upon us. But before we look at week 4, I wanted to take a look back at the week 3. What were some of your takeaways from week 3?
Wow, I guess you could say is the biggest takeaway, that 70 points. The Miami Dolphins beat the Denver Broncos 70-20, beat them by 50 points. I think it was the most points scored in the game since the 1960s in the NFL. And it's kind of scary because I think a lot of people, you look at that Miami Dolphins offense, and you look at all the passing, and the passing was great. Tua was 23 of 26 for 309 yards and 4 touchdowns. But what's even scarier is they ran for 350 yards against the Denver Broncos. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. They played us in week 2, and we were able to hold them to 24 points. We were mainly using a lot of 3 safety looks. As a result, we kind of got gashed by the run. Last year, their running game wasn't really hitting that. And it seems they've figured it out, where they've added a new wrinkle to their offense. And it's kind of how do you stop them, to be perfectly honest?
Yeah, I mean, they're looking right now easily the best offense so far this season. And look at them, they're going to be on a historic run, go down to one of the greatest offenses of all time.
Yeah, I mean, again, I believe I said it last week. Right now, Tua is... He's leading the league in shortest time to throw, but he also has the highest average depth of target in the league, which shouldn't be a thing, but it is, because they have so much speed and guys are just getting so open. I don't really know what the fix is going to be. Mike McDaniel has that offense finely tuned. Tua's made some strides. He's playing a bit better this year than he was last year. He's a little bit better outside of structure. He's not so much just really focused on his first read. He's kind of going through his progressions more. This offense is going to be really tough to stop.
Yeah, man, it's scary. And I know we're going to talk about them against the Bills later on for one of the games we're going to preview. But yeah, I mean, this team, they have a chance to go out, I believe, for the first time 4-0 in franchise history. So off to an incredible start. I just took away, one of my takeaways was just how pathetic both the Pats and the Jets are. And I think both fan bases are faced with the reality that their offenses are just pretty much atrocious. I remember my man on one of my boys on Twitter on Sunday during the game posted that infamous Spider-Man meme. One Spider-Man pointed the other. Yeah, these offenses are really, really, really trash. I understand it wasn't the best weather conditions. It was a gloomy day, sunny day, but man, that was really, really hard to watch. And both teams are good defensive teams, but we were able to escape MetLife Stadium with a W, which we really needed. Good that we got that we didn't go down 0-3. But at the same time, it was just frustrating, as we did touch on the last podcast, is how hard it is watching this offense, knowing that we don't have any dynamic playmakers on offense, and it's just we're just kind of stuck in the back in 2002 with this offense that what we have right now. So it's really hard to watch, man.
You know what? It was definitely tough. It was a defensive struggle, which I expected it to be. I do think our offense is better, is definitely a lot better than their offense when it's run by like Zach Wilson. I don't really think Zach Wilson can play at all. They do have some playmakers over there with Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, and our defense really didn't allow Breece Hall to get going, which was great. And Zach Wilson can't really use Garrett Wilson to like the best of his ability. So like, it is what it is. I still did see some like encouraging things for like the offense. I think right now Mac Jones is kind of stuck in a game manager kind of, I guess you could say like production offensively. He doesn't really have, just like we discussed before, he doesn't have like that downfield playmaker or somebody who can get the ball in like the short areas of the field and really make something happen, where we can reliably get chunk plays. So unfortunately, especially when we're playing like tougher defenses like the Jets are, it's going to look like that. You know, 15 for 29, 200 yards, like one touchdown. Like it's about what I expected, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. But again, I shouldn't, like, put too much emphasis on that game, considering we were playing an elite defense. The defense that was top five last year and had a lot of high hopes coming into the season. But it was just still kind of hard to watch. Hey, what do you think about the Jets with the reports coming up that the defense has essentially lost faith in Zach Wilson, and they kind of, like, upset Asala for sticking up for him when they know that basically – if there's any other quarterback that would have been benched, but they're not benching, but they're not kind of going that route with him.
I don't really know if any of like those like reports are true. I do think they might be frustrated with like Zach Wilson, because he's just like not good. But it's kind of like what could they like really like expect? It's like extremely short notice. Their franchise quarterback, their Hall of Fame quarterback, tore his Achilles in the first four plays of the game. In week one, and they're kind of just like scrambling to try to like see what they can do outside of that. They did sign Trevor Siemian this week, so we'll see. I do think you're going to see Zach Wilson get benched sooner rather than later, but I think Salah's kind of making the best, but doing the best that he can in a kind of like a tough situation where they expected to have Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, I Salah can't come out and just talk bad about his quarterback, even though he knows that he's playing like trash right now, but he can't do that. And honestly, I think a lot of this should be placed on the Jets organization, not really having a reliable backup plan in the case that Aaron Rodgers was to get hurt like he did for plays into the offense, into the offensive drive for some of the season, because he is going on 40. That means that chances are that he has a higher chance of getting injured due to his age. So they just feel, for them to like not really have a secure backup plan, it's kind of like, it's just like uncalled for, I think.
I mean, yeah, I thought they were, they maybe thought that Zach Wilson would be a little bit better than like what he is. And a big part of playing a professional sport is having confidence in yourself. And if your coaches aren't showing like confidence in you, are you really going to have confidence in yourself? Especially coming from like the lows that Zach Wilson has come in like his career. It makes sense to me that they tried their best to make it work, but it's clearly not working. And I think they're going to start making decisions where it becomes like apparent that they're going to pivot to somebody else. And like Trevor Siemian seems to be like a first step. Maybe they make a trade for somebody. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, there are reports that the likes of Carson Wentz name floating around, Matt yep. Ryan, even I know, there's no way in hell that they're gonna sign Cap. I mean, I know Cap that letter came out, or J. Cole I think posted that letter. Been the process on the practice squad, but I don't see that happening. But hey, I would love it to happen and to get a chance. At this point, this organization is really, really desperate. They can't let a season go to waste. After all the hype that was surrounding that team during the offseason, albeit largely due to Aaron Rodgers' arrival when he's not there no more, but you still can't let a season go to waste, because these guys are like really like showing signs of frustration, and like they essentially have lost the locker room. Well, Zach Wilson has. So they got to do something. They had to pivot and do something to help salvage the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing for them. I think Matt Ryan publicly said that he's like not he's not coming back if that's something like people were like talking about. I think like maybe their best chance is like Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz isn't great, but he's definitely better than like Zach Wilson at this point. So it seems like that's like their best shot.
Absolutely. Anything else for week one? I'm up for week three.
I think Justin Fields is cooked. That whole situation is cooked. I feel like Matt Eberflus is probably, if he makes it through this season, I don't think he's going to be the Chicago Bears head coach by this time next year. It looks like Justin Fields is a bust. I do think he has his own flaws, but I definitely do think Chicago played a very large role in ruining any chances he had of becoming like a great quarterback, as you would expect someone of like his talent.
Wait, you mean the same organization that passed on Deshaun and Patrick Mahomes in favor of Mr. Trubisky? They're playing a part in this?
Yep.
Shocking.
Yep. You know, Chicago Bears, as usual, making bad decisions with quarterbacks. I don't know where this is going to go for them. I think it seems like Matt Eberflus is probably going to get thrown under the bus, and deservedly so. But I also think it's going to end up where Justin Fields is coming up on his, like, fifth-year option coming up in the, this offseason. I feel like they will probably, like, decline it. I think the way that they're looking right now, offensively and defensively, they'll be picking in like the top like three or four picks. I think they'll draft a new quarterback. They'll go get themselves a new coach, and they'll move on from both Fields and Eberflus, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, all sides of points to that direction for this team. A terrible showing on Sunday. So bad that Fox cut away from that game, and they were showing. I forgot what game they were showing instead. But I was watching on YouTube TV all four games at once, and they cut away from that game. Went to the other game. I forgot what game they went to.
It was so bad.
Yeah,
it was one of the worst games I'd ever seen. But I believe they cut away from that game for the Cowboys Cardinals game. I believe.
I mean, there was more Taylor Swift highlights than Bears highlights.
That's a fact.
That was really 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 bad. One more thing. I got something for week three. Brandon Staley. Almost lost his job, I think. Going for on 4th-and-1 at the 0-24.
Yeah,
and they don't convert on 4th, and he's playing the analytic game. And fortunately, Kirk Cousins when it mattered most. And they were able to get the interception, still the win. But, man, that was really, really bad. Like, the guy has been playing with fire for the past 2-3 seasons. This is crazy. Now, you did tell me last time that there's like some internal conflict going on between the ownership, which is why he's like has stayed put in that position. Is that correct?
Yeah, I do think so. Right now, I believe the Spanos family, like it's like the brothers and sisters, and the sisters like suing the brother, and like her husband somewhat like involved with like running like the team. It's like a whole mess. And they already paid Anthony Lynn to walk away when they fired him. I don't think they want to spend more money to give to Staley his walking papers. Oddly enough, I actually didn't have as much of an issue with Staley going for it as like some other people did.
Why? I don't get it.
I think, for one, I think that their defense was just, like, really bad. And I don't necessarily have, like, a problem with being, like, aggressive, even though they were on their, I think they were on their own, like, what, 24?
Yep.
What I had a problem with was that they called a fullback dive. It's like, why did you call a fullback dive? It's like, to me, it's like Justin Herbert in that game, he was 40 for 47 for 405 yards. It's like, okay, if you're gonna go for it on fourth down, why not put it in your best player's hands, and then instead of putting it like in your like seldom like rarely used like fullback? Like, to me, that didn't make any sense. Yeah. Also, they couldn't really run the ball well at all like that game. They tried it, and it went, like, nowhere. I think Joshua Kelly, I believe he had, like, 11 carries for, like, 12 yards. And Isaiah Spiller, he had 2 carries for, like, 7 yards. Austin Eckler was out for, like, his second consecutive game with, like, his ankle injury. And that just, to me, didn't make any sense.
Exactly. I mean, my thing is they're up 4. I'd rather, like, have them go, like, the length of the field to score. Because, you know, field goal is not gonna win the game. They got to score a touchdown, and that's Kirk Cousins. So why not just, like, trust your defense? How about you saying they weren't playing that good that day? So, But I don't know. It's just crazy, man. Like, I'm a big Herbert fan, and I just feel like Stanley's kind of holding this team back from greatness. And then they lost Mike Williams in the game with torn ACL.
Torn ACL. They did draft Quentin Johnston out of TCU. He hasn't been playing much. He kind of has a very similar skill set to Mike Williams, so he's going to have to step up in his place. But it's kind of like the Chargers going Charger. It's like every year someone gets hurt. Like, yeah, someone gets hurt or something like goes wrong. I think Justin Herbert is the third best quarterback in football. I think the only quarterbacks
– from a talent standpoint, absolutely.
I think the only quarterbacks that are better than him are Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. I think he's better than Joe Burrow. I think he's better than pretty much everybody else in the league. And he's stuck on a team where, like, I think the general manager doesn't do, like, the greatest job with how he holds on to some, like, old aging talent, even though Keenan Allen is somewhat proving me wrong this year. Austin Eckler was a little bit too, but it also seems like people just get hurt a lot. And it's just like, I don't get it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like you said, like, he's definitely, like, probably one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league. I would say he's right there, right? Like I said, with Mahomes and Allen, but this team is just not, like, constructed really, like, well around him. He hasn't been put in the best situations to win, but I hope that changes for him, man. Because this guy is, like, putting up a crazy number right now, and he has no turnovers yet. Through 3 weeks, no turnovers yet.
No, not at all. Not at all. The kid, he's been playing out of his mind, which is good, and it makes me look a little bit better because I sit there in a lot of, like, sports spaces or, like, debates, and it's just like, I'm like, yeah, this kid is, like, really good. And people are like, what are you talking about? But, yeah, six touchdowns, no interceptions through the first, like, 3 weeks. He's, like, already almost thrown for, like, 1,000 yards already. He's like, that's not half bad.
Yeah, man. Yep, yeah, exactly. Hey, but we could take a quick break and then we talk about some games slated for this week. What game you want to take on first? We got the Pats, Cowboys, Dolphins, Bills.
Yeah, let's go with this, like, Pats Cowboys game. Let's do it.
Oh yeah, man. So yeah, I'll be in attendance for the game. I'm flying on Friday. Pats at Cowboys. A lot of people are, you know, some people I've seen in the media predicting a possible upset, seeing some vulnerability now in the Cowboys after their upset loss against the Cardinals last week. This game, I think, can be very, very interesting. I can see a scenario where the Pats come out with a victory. How about you?
Really?
I can see it. I would say I'm really confident in Gavin, but I can see it.
So I definitely was going into this season thinking that we did not have much of a chance against Dallas with their defense and how Dak has typically performed against our defense. I do think we have a slight chance, only if we are able to run the football. I think what really keyed Arizona's win last week was their ability to run the football. And then also, like, the fact that on the other side of the ball, the Cowboys have been having a lot of red zone issues. They're able to move the ball, but when they get down to the red zone, for some reason, things kind of come up short. I think our defense this year, especially with the addition of, like, Christian Gonzalez and some of the other plays that we have, I really think that we can do enough. And I feel like, I feel confident against Dak this time around.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like, Zach, the success of the Cowboys so far has really been primarily due to the defense, you know, being opportunistic and getting takeaways and everything. Because Zach hasn't done much this season. We got three games in. He has, what, 627 yards, three touchdowns, one INT. And when they came at the end of the game in the red zone on Sunday, was obviously costly because that was essentially the game. So if we can get pressure on him with Lex and Judon, I think that we'll be in good shape. And, hey, we got to run a game. We got a solid run a game. If we could duplicate what Carolina did, I mean, what the Cardinals did, well, we're in really good shape. And we got a motivated Zeke, you know, making his homecoming. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's kind of like one of those things where we'll see. The line has been getting a little bit healthier over like the past like few weeks. Trent Brown has actually been playing very well. He played well last week. And it's kind of funny that him playing so well is like somewhat coincided with him getting a race. It was a much deserved race. I'm not going to sit there and lie to you and say that it wasn't. We do need better play from like our guards. We do need better play from like our interior offensive line as a whole. Then maybe we can get going and get that run game, a strong like run game going in where we can hopefully get Ramondre Stevenson back. He's been disappointing
first three games of the season.
If you like asked me in the offseason, anybody who asked, I would have told them Ramondre Stevenson is the best player on our offense. I also was saying like, yeah, he's like a top 10, top 8 running back in the league. He has not looked like that at all so far this season. It was not his fault, especially like in week one when they were kept in to a lot. We were playing two rookies in their first NFL action up against a really good defense in the Philadelphia Eagles. But I need more from Ramondre Stevenson. 5 yards to carry last week, and Ramondre Stevenson didn't look anywhere near as good. And by most like metrics, like Zeke is supposed to be like cooked at this point, and Ramondre Stevenson is like supposed to be answering like his prime. So like, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, like if you were coming into the season, we would definitely say that he was the best. He is the best player on offense for the Pats, but hadn't looked at that this far. And kind of crazy how like Zeke kind of like turned back the hand of time, so to speak, where he's struggling. So hopefully, if we can have them like simultaneously being efficient on the ground, we could be in good shape, and it would be great if it could happen this week, because I don't want to go there. I don't want to go watch the Pats play and watch them catch another L. Happened last year in Vegas. Don't want to see it again.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of funny. It's like when you look at it, both the Patriots and the Cowboys haven't really been running the football all that well. They're both like sitting around like 3.5 like yards a carry. The Dallas Cowboys running it a lot more than we do, but neither of us actually like run the football all that well.
Yeah, man. So, yes, well, I'm predicting a low-scoring game, hovering around 21, 22 points. Whoever wins, I think they're going to score being like in the 21, 22 range.
Yeah, I actually think that the Patriots are going to win this one 21-17, in my opinion.
I was going with that score as well. It just has that feel of like a grind-out game, slow. You know, I think Cowboys' red zone woes are going to continue on in this game. We're going to get pressure on Dak. But again, they're going to pressure Mac Jones and, you know, make his life a living hell. So it's going to kind of somewhat balance out. But I think in the end, we're going to squeeze by and be 2-2 on the season after Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be really important for us to get that run game going. I cannot stress that enough. Like, if we can't run that football, I don't know what's going to happen. I do know what's going to happen. We're going to lose. But I'm looking at this game as being like that one game of the year that Bill Belichick gets that he shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this will be good for us to get this game, considering our schedule. I know it doesn't get that much easier. I'm gonna pull it up right now, actually, because we play the Cowboys. Oh, then we host the Saints the week after, and then we're headed to Las Vegas. So, actually, you know what? I can take that back. Then we host the Bills, and then are at Miami the consecutive week after that. So yeah, I think this would be good to like, you know, get some ground in the division. We should win this game. We have to. I think we should like really win this game.
Oh, and just we talked about it both like off the pod, but that Pats Nation chat, like the little collective that I have going with like a whole bunch of like Pats fans who know ball. Actually, I have two other friends who are going to be at that Dallas game, and they're in that chat. I'll like at them, and maybe you guys can link.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you going solo, or you go with any friends?
I'm going with my people. They bought the tickets for the game yet. I didn't buy my ticket for the game yet. I bought my ticket the day of the game. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm going to wait. It's like an hour before game time, watch the prices come down, and buy a ticket then and just walk in.
Bet.
Yeah, so interesting. I wanted to go to Vegas too, but it's not feasible for me this year. So I'll just settle with Dallas.
I got you. I'm doing the Chiefs and the Chargers game.
Oh, and Gillette.
Yep.
When are those? Oh yeah, the Chiefs are coming up on the.
It's in December.
Oh, December, yeah.
Oddly enough, I have never traveled to a Patriots game ever. I've only ever gone to Patriots games at Gillette. I need to travel.
Oh, that's funny because I've never been to the Gillette. I just been traveling since. Last year's my first time going to a Patriots game, and I went in Vegas, and I was like, I'm going to go to Dallas this year. Yeah.
I can dig it.
All right. So, next game. We don't want to do Dolphins-Bills?
Yes, sir.
AFC East showdown. Both teams coming up impressive victories, blowouts. One in historic fashion. The Dolphins are, like, you know, we're talking about them right now as one of probably the best team in the league right now. A lot of people feel that way. Certainly the best offense in the league. That shouldn't be disputed. But I think this game can really be interesting. I think the Bills can win this game, but I'm not going to pick them. I'm rolling with the Dolphins. But I think that they can do it. What about you?
I'm definitely rolling with the Dolphins in this one. I do think that Bills defense does have some pieces where they, in theory, should be able to match up against that Miami Dolphins offense a little bit better than people think. However, I'm just not buying it without Von Miller being there. I do think that McDermott has done well, like through the first 3 weeks, dialing things up a bit more. He's been throwing some simulated pressures. He's been using a bit more blitzes, even though they don't blitz a lot. Compared to other defenses, I think he switched things up since they moved on from their previous defensive coordinator. But to me, it's still like not enough. I think they're good at making like average or bad quarterbacks look really, really bad, which you kind of saw last week with Sam Howell throwing four interceptions, and they're able to get another turnover from Antonio Gibson with a recovered fumble for five total to go against, I believe Josh Allen threw one pick last week. I think this is going to be, you're going to see like a lot of points. You're going to see like a lot of excitement, but I think the Miami Dolphins are going to pull this one out.
Yeah, man. I mean, but for any chance for the Bills to win, they had to like kind of like somewhat replicate what they did in week three against the Commanders in terms of the pass rush, because they did record 9 sacks and I believe 15 QB hits ahead in the game. Looked that up again. But Tua did have a lot of time to make decisions last week, because, you know, that defense is god awful and they just gave up essentially. Not going to be able to do that again, but I think that he will be able to overcome that. And the fact that I'm sure Waddle should be back, should be at a concussion protocol by Sunday. I haven't seen anything official yet, but I would think so.
I think after putting 70 points on the Broncos, I think now, I mean, I felt like they did it. They did probably teams like had it before, but now I feel like all these defenses are circling the Miami Dolphins with a red dot. They're like, they're not going to do that to us. So I expect them to like show up and do everything that they possibly can to like stop them. I don't know if they have what it takes to do it. But I think if there's one person who can kind of go toe for toe with Tua Besides like Patrick Mahomes, it's definitely like Josh Allen with his like ability to run the ball and throw the football, and Dalton Kincaid, the tight end. They've been playing a lot of like 12 personnel, and it's worked extremely well for them. They're running the ball really well with like James Cook now, which was an issue for them like last year and previous years, that they've added that facet to like their offense. But Miami's been able to run the football as well, and that's somewhat proven to be an issue for the Bills in the past. So I think we're going to see like a lot of points. I would bet the over for this game if you guys are doing any over unders for this game, but I think the Miami Dolphins are going to pull this out.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's on the lines of like 33 to 21 Miami. That's the thing about in this game. But, yeah, man, I mean, this offense is too much. And, like, you're talking about that running game with Mostert. Like, add Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle to the mix. It's a lot for a defense to overcome for four quarters. I think it's going to wear them down eventually.
Yeah, it's going to be I'm excited to see this one. I got this one circled on my calendar. I'm going to make sure I'm wide awake, got my caffeine, no naps, no nothing. I'm watching that game all the way through, and then I'm watching the All-22 right after.
Do you know, is that what time is that game on? Not Sunday night, right?
It is not. I can check on that for you. Give me 1 second, and I'll take a look.
Right now.
It is, I believe it's the 1 o'clock game, and then we are the 4 o'clock game.
Yep. So, yeah, we are the 4 o'clock game. So, you're right. It probably is a 1 o'clock game.
Yeah.
Looking right now, which is crazy, man. You would think that after Aaron Rodgers went down, that they would probably flex that Sunday night game with Kansas City for either the Dallas Cowboys Patriots.
They can only flex stuff after like a. It's like later on. I feel like it's like after like week. It might be like after like week 8 or 9. They can't flex stuff that's early in the season.
Cause I remember last year when I went to Vegas for the Pats game. That was supposed to be a Sunday night game. Then they got flexed for 4:25. I remember that, and that was like late in the season because it was in December. So I think it was like week 15 or 16. That was.
Oh, okay. So I'm just looking at it. Flex scheduling can be used twice between weeks 5 and 10, and any times between weeks 11 and 17 to move games in and out of Sunday Night Football.
Mm. Well, good for the NFL. Reports are that Taylor Swift will be in attendance again when they play in MetLife, the Chiefs. So that's going to do wonders for the ratings.
That Taylor Swift stuff is so ridiculous.
Oh my god, it's like this is crazy. Like, I feel like I'm in a big group chat, like with gossip going around. Like, I really don't care, but it is what it is.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Hey, let's take one more break, and then we'll talk about the Ravens and Browns.
Gotcha.
All right, so now we got a AFC North showdown, Ravens and Browns. Browns are coming off an impressive victory over the Titans. Deshaun Watson easily had his best game as a Cleveland Brown when he went for 289 yards, 2 touchdowns, 123 passer rating. He looked really, really good. That defense stifled Derrick Henry, which is that's crazy, like what they did to him. Like, he was virtually a no-show in that game. Credit to the likes of Myles Garrett and them as Darius Smith. They did their thing. This is an interesting game. I'm not sold on, well, definitely not sold on the Ravens passing game. Their offense still looks like it's a work in progress, especially in the passing game. So that's going to put a lot of pressure on Lamar to make things happen on his leg, which he's capable of doing. But against this defense, I think he might have some trouble, well, more trouble than he would have on your against a typical defensive front line.
It's the best defense in football. The Cleveland Browns are the best defense in football. Through 3 weeks, they're allowing 10.7 points a game.
Yeah.
They're ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I don't even know. Like, I was definitely going into this season, I thought Myles Garrett would be someone who would end up being the defensive player of the year just because of how I know Schwartz can have an effect on defense. Like, so far, I would say the defensive player of the year is probably, like, TJ Watt, but that defense as a whole, as a unit, they've been lights out. They've been lights out through 3 weeks. I definitely think Lamar has a tough nut to crack on his hands. I think that offense is still like a work in progress. It's still not really opened up. Odell Beckham Jr. was out with the ankle last week. They had a whole bunch of guys. I think Ronnie Stanley was out. Tyler Linderbaum was out. I think Marcus Williams did return to practice this week. But it's going to be tough. I honestly feel like the Browns will win this game, the way their defense has been playing. And it has a lot of implications for the standings in the AFC North right now. Oddly enough, the Pittsburgh Steelers are actually leading the AFC North, oddly enough. Like, the Bengals are last. And we kind of knew going into this season that AFC North was going to be like a dogfight with, you know, like
I thought it was the best division in football coming into the season. I finally put it over the AFC, but I gave them the nod.
Yeah, they're a tough division. It's going to be, like, division wins are going to be extremely important when it comes to the very end of the season and who's going to end up winning that division. And, like, this is, like, one of those, like, you have two teams that are both, like, 2-1, and this winning this game really matters. I do feel like the Cleveland Browns are going to be able to pull this one out. I do feel like it's going to be like a defensive struggle. I don't really think that Deshaun Watson will play all that well either. I do think that Ravens defense is really very good. But I think the Cleveland Browns will pull this one out by like a slim margin.
Yeah, I mean, like you're talking about, the Ravens, the defense is good. They did blitz heavy last week. If they're going to do that again, they might be taking a gamble with Deshaun if he's able to connect with, like, Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore again. That could be to their detriment if they do that. But I feel like they probably should, like, try to keep a balance between blitzing. But yeah, I don't know if Deshaun Watson could do that. Is he back on track to being Deshaun Watson that we all knew before he stopped playing, for everything that happened to him off the field and everything? Yeah, I don't know. Was it an admiration game performance that we've seen? But if you're the Cleveland Browns, you're probably feeling optimistic and hoping, especially that fan base, that this was not a one-time thing, that he can do this relatively frequently, what he did on Sunday.
Yeah, I think he just has to not play like a crazy person, or just because it was just like there was all the face masks and the like low key, but maybe like high key personal fouls like the past like couple weeks before, until he got to like week 3, and I think he only really had that one bonehead play where he threw the ball backwards.
That was crazy. I think I saw that on social media first.
Yeah, it was just like, what are you doing? Outside of that, he played like a relatively controlled game. I don't think the Deshaun Watson that we saw in Houston is going to come back at this point. It kind of seems like that guy's like gone, but that doesn't still mean he can't still be a very, very good quarterback or even a great quarterback. So I do think that maybe you'll see some of that progress carry over into like this next game. But I definitely do think that defense will frustrate Lamar. Lamar, we all know what he can do like outside of that pocket, but if there's one thing that Cleveland Browns defense does have, it's a ton of speed. They got speed everywhere. So good luck.
Yeah, they do have the speed everywhere. It's frightening how quick they are and how, like, you know, how quick they are to make tackles and not like not let a small gain turn into a big gain. They barely pay attention to detail with that defensive unit there. It's crazy. So you said that you think they're the best defense right now. Just like, are you saying, like, based on what have we seen transpire so far this season, or do you really think that this is going to be sustained through the duration of the season?
I definitely think they have like the players to sustain it. They have guys who can cover. They have good safeties. They have, you know, one of the best edge defenders in football, and they have like a good defensive coordinator to pull it all together. Maybe like for my money, I will probably say I like the 49ers defense the most across the board. But I think there's no reason why the Browns can't be right there with them. There's no reason why the Kansas City Chiefs can't end up right there with them, because they've been playing out of their minds through like the first like 3 weeks of the season. The Patriots, even though we've given up some points to Miami, I think we're going to be as good as anybody. I think we have some really good defenses in the league this year, but it's kind of, I would say, well, we got to revisit it maybe around the, you know, the week 8 mark, because I think the one thing that I've seen is just like the offensive play across the league, outside of maybe like a couple of teams, just hasn't been all that great. A lot of teams kind of started out slow. And like as like teams start to get like a better feel for things, we'll maybe see that start to change. So it's still a bit like early, but Cleveland has all the talent to be a great defense, and so far that's been the case.
Yeah, I mean, after this game on Sunday, they host the 49ers. That's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, that's a big barometer game too, where you gotta figure out like who's like if they're for real or if they're not.
Exactly. Got 49ers, and then you're at the Colts, at Seahawks, host the Cardinals, so they can easily be, win the next 3 out of 4 games easily.
Yeah.
But that 49ers game is a question, because that defense is real. That would probably be the game of the week. I think that's the game we got to cover.
For sure. Definitely.
Because that's going to be crazy. So, what do you think is going to be a score for the game?
Give me 26-20 Browns.
I'll take 27-17 Browns.
Cool boy.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't even know OBJ status, if he's hasn't been ruled out or anything yet so far. I mean, it is midweek. Yep. I think we'll probably learn in the next 2 days where that is going to be. But they, I think they're going to need him a lot for this game, even for the rest of the season too. Because like I said, like the offense had to really progress like you thought it would. It still looks like relatively the same last year, which they don't want it to be. They want to open it up for Lamar and start putting so much burden on Lamar, you know, to help like avoid him possibly getting injured.
It also could be like a kind of like an OBJ revenge game, kind of, because I think it's like his first game.
Yeah,
I believe it's his first game back against Cleveland since they traded him out to the Rams.
I think you are right. I'm pretty sure. I think it is his first game back too.
But they released him. They released him.
Yeah, so you definitely got to play. That will make it even for a more interesting storyline.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, of course, you got, you know, the division rivals and everything. But all right, so we got our games in. You got any plans for the weekend?
I am just going to be chilling. I got a whole bunch of work to do, unfortunately. Accountant life, so I'm just going to be getting a few things done over the weekend so that my workload next week isn't too tough.
Oh, so are you basically like, you know, kind of get your work out of the way so you can have like more like a balanced free time than a week?
Yeah, I'm going to get a whole bunch of stuff done over the weekend so that I'm not up till like 2 o'clock in the morning for like the entire close, month end close for during next week.
So I live. Because it is October on Sunday, man. This year is going by fast, man.
Yep.
Already October.
Well, it's wild.
Before you know it, Thanksgiving will be here, then Christmas, New Year's. And
That's a fact.
Which means, you know, it gets dark early. It's cold. Brutal. And there's what it is. Well, you know, I'll be out in Dallas, so I'm going to have fun. I've never been to Texas before, so I'm happy.
When are you flying out?
I fly Friday afternoon, so I think I get there around midnight, 11:30 in Dallas. So I turn down. So, well, I'll probably just do things Saturday, and then obviously go to the game on Sunday. So I can't wait, man. It's gonna be fun. Kind of be stuck though. Like I can't really watch all the other games that are going on because I'll be there. Or I mean, I got YouTube TV, so I can watch it on my phone, I guess. But it won't be the same because I won't be able to hear anything really. Because I'll be in a loud ass arena, a loud ass stadium, Jerry's World. Which I hear is probably one of the best stadiums in the country. So I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, I've only heard like good things. I've never been there myself. I've been to like stadiums for like other things. I've never been in for like football games. So I'm hoping that maybe like next year I can hit some like other stadiums for like maybe something to be like a Patriots fan that travels on the road.
Yeah, man. Have you what did I say to you? So you said you haven't been to any games before on the road?
I have not. I've only ever gone to Patriots games in Gillette.
Okay. Yeah, man, this is fun. So it's 2 years in a row. Last year in Vegas, this year in Dallas. So I'm hoping next year they play like they play in the NFC South and they play in New Orleans. I'll be at that game for sure if they play in New Orleans. I'll be there.
I'm trying to figure out. Like, I'm wondering what NFC division that the Patriots play in 2024. I think there is a list. It looks like we're playing the NFC West.
Ooh, I could be at SoFi. I will go. Actually, we played out there a couple of years ago on Halloween.
I'm looking at the 2024 season. So we have the Rams at home, we have the Seahawks at home, and then away, we have the 49ers, and we have like the Cardinals. So I do have a couple of friends in Arizona who I could use that as a way to visit, and I also have some friends in Jacksonville who are playing away who I could visit. So yeah, I might actually have to go do that, go on the road and go meet up with my friends. One of my friends is like a Jaguar season ticket holder. I'd actually probably just hit her up and go to the game with her. And then I have some friends who are 49ers fans, like diehard 49ers fans. So I might actually be able to go out there and go meet up with them as well.
Yeah, man. Okay. So I think I might have to send a trip up to San Fran for sure.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
Yeah, we're making a thing.
Yeah, I know I've been before. You know, it's really fun just traveling to games and being around like Pats fans and then being around like the other teams.
I don't know if I'm gonna go to a 49ers game in a Patriots jersey though, because man, every week it seems like there's like a brawl at that stadium at Levi's.
Oh yeah. It's crazy. It's like a big thing right now going on in all these football games, all these fights breaking out. I'm sure alcohol plays a role in a lot of these fights, if not all.
Of course.
But hey, man, I'm good. I had a great experience with the Vegas fans I was around, because me and my boys, we all had like sat in different sections. My boys sat in the 300 section, I sat in the 200 section, and one of my mans had club seats. So I was by myself last year in Vegas, but all the Raiders fans were cool that I was next to, so I had no problem.
Bet.
But I imagine we're gonna wrap it up right now. I appreciate you, my guy. We'll be back at it next week. And hey, plug your podcast in right now while you have the chance.
Yeah, we rolled out the first episode of the Do Your Pod podcast. I kind of use my professional name, my middle name, which is Jude, and it's my partner Cam Garrity. We recorded it on Saturdays, and we just roll it out Sunday mornings at 9 before like the slate of games every single week. Have some like guest stars on there. It's Patriots only. We're just going to be going like through like the full gamut of like what happened the week before, you know, injury reports, what the upcoming matchup. That's about it.
All right, man. Cool. Well, yeah, I'm going to be on look out for that too. And I'll be in. When we get the YouTube page, I will follow that. I'll subscribe everywhere and support.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're ready, man. Well, all right, man. Have a good rest of your night. We'll talk about the week.
All right, same to you.
All right, man. Take care.
Peace.
That is it for this episode. Thank you guys for your continued support. And if you're new to this pod, I hope you enjoyed it and hopefully you stuck around as well. Salute to the homie 2E's for holding me down as always. And if you haven't already subscribed to this pod, be sure to do that as it is available just about everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other platforms as well. And you can also follow the Instagram page at the Mr. Vincent Pod. Again, the Instagram page is at the Mr. Vincent Pod. You'll see some cool things on there. I try to keep it updated as much as I can with stories that break, or you know, try to get some people engaged in that as well in the content that's on there. So that is it for now. I am going to be putting out another episode, most likely tomorrow morning. However, that will be centered around news that broke out in the wrestling world and in the NBA. You probably know what the news are for both the WWE and the NBA if you follow both of those entities. So you won't hear another football pod from me until next week. So with that being said, until then, you guys have a great weekend. You'll hear from me relatively soon. Till then, take care.